Ciao, people, and welcome to a new episode of Making Movies with Mattia, the podcast for people who work or want to work in the entertainment industry. I'm Mattia Capasso, and my guest today is a producer and director. He works in many indie projects, both short and feature format. He is mostly known to produce and direct Winter Ridge, an independent film who won more than a dozen awards at independent film festivals. He also had many experience in live camera work for big bands and event, as well as an extensive promotional video back catalog. I'm pleased to welcome Dom Lenoir.
Hi there.
Hi,
Great
Dom.
To be here.
First of all, as I said before recording, thank you again for giving your time on be here. I know you are really busy during those days, so thank you again.
No problem at all.
Of course, let's start off with yourself. Tell me about both of your job, producer and director. What are your duties?
So I started in camera, so that was kind of how I learnt the process of filmmaking, kind of doing directing and producing, almost as a byproduct of just making my own short films at uni and also outside of university. And directing is something that I got more and more interested in, is probably my sort of primary career. I think it began watching Clint Eastwood films. It was the first time I think it was Mystic River that I sort of understood what a director did and what that kind of unique role was and how it differed from film to film. And I think the progress for me was quite a natural one, from writing developing projects into developing stuff for me to direct. And the producing sort of came as a basically as a sort of a method to produce my own works. So, you know, I would find the locations, I would arrange the deals, on the kind of all aspects of filmmaking, from the funding to the crew and the cast, and sort of overseeing the post-production and all those kind of things. They sort of came as a necessity, directing my own works as I was sort of starting out. And camera, although it's something I still do, it's not my sort of primary focus these days. I tend to be much more interested in the directing, producing. So I guess a director takes a script, or they develop their own script, and it's about finding something that you're passionate about and that you think you're willing to spend a couple of years of your life either getting the fundraising for, and then obviously the actual shooting and the post-production. That's a process in itself as well. And that's kind of pretty much my film work.
About instead producer, in your world, what exactly is a producer? I know there's many kind. I know there's depends on what's the kind of production, but in general, really, with your word, what is?
Well, it's a very difficult thing to define, because it's such a broad term. I mean, you have creative producers that are pretty much focused on the storyline side of things, and very much the narrative side of things. You get co-producers that, I mean, a co-producer could be a number of things, but it's often someone that, if you're doing an international production and you have someone that's based in a certain country, they could join to be a sort of a smaller part of things. You have a general producer. I suppose the duties are to find the finance for the film, or find the kind of exec producers, investors, et cetera, et cetera. And it's almost like a sort of it's like a manager of the entire process of making a film. So you're kind of managing, you know, how the casting goes, you know, maybe the director, maybe the post-production, the distribution. You're kind of involved in overseeing like all elements of filmmaking. And then you have line producers, which are very much like the sort of technical producers on set, predominantly. So a lot of their work is developing budgets, so you know how long the schedule and the money for the film tie in together. and sort of managing the cash flow of the film when you're actually shooting.
Good definition you give. As I say, you're right. There's many, many kind of producer. As I said, it depends also on the production. But, you know, in indie, I think it's mostly based on these two, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think in independent films, depending on how low you go, you might not have a line producer. But you'll generally have some kind of producer. Sometimes in indie films, when people are putting in their own money, the producer, you know, might be doing something else on the film as well, a director or an actor, or the cinematographer or whatever. I think independent films tend to be a lot more roles sandwiched together. So you might not just be doing one job and, you know, everyone's sort of taking care of everything else. You might have to sort of muck in and do a lot of things that aren't the sort of traditional job description of your role.
Really, really weird how, you know, in indie you have to do much, much more compared, I think, with big budget, where, you know, you have one duty and focusing on the whole crew rather than your own department.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, now tell me a bit about your background. You say you studied at uni. Tell me your job background and how did you manage to get where are you now?
So I guess, I've never really been a fan of the sort of runner route. I know it works for a lot of people, but for me, I've always been very specific in terms of my process of learning, and my process of learning is by doing much more than by watching. And I've always had although it can be a very beneficial career path to some people and they can move up the ranks quite successfully, for me, I found there was a lot of pre-imposed restrictions in terms of going in a certain route, in terms of how long it takes you to specialize, how long it takes people to sort of show you the, you know, a chance to, you know, have your own vision or opinion or, you know, create your own work. So my process was, you know, I went to university, I started making my own shorts, I was acting, camera, sound, you know, set design, costumes, stunts, everything basically. And editing.
Which uni, if I may ask?
I went to Plymouth, which is sort of southwest England.
Ah, okay. So not London.
It was slightly, I know it's changed more in recent years to be slightly more of a film media university, but when I went, it was slightly more led by the arts side of things. And I've never really been too far down the art house route. I've been more sort of interested in, you know, independent / Hollywood style filmmaking. So the university was a good sort of, it was a good time for me to develop my own stuff. But I think I did learn a lot of it from, you know, sort of trial and error and creating stuff and finding out what was shot was good enough or the sound quality was good enough and editing and all that kind of process. And then that sort of led into, I think through someone I met at the university, I got my first sort of live camera job, which was kind of filming sort of big bands on stage at concerts, which is great. And I did that sort of one off for a number of years. And that was that's a really good way to learn cinematography and sort of filming under pressure, because you've only got like, you know, half a second to get a shot when someone's yelling down the earpiece for you to get a close up or a shot on the guitar or, you know, the lead singer, or, you know, you've got to pull focus, those kind of things. And because it's live, there's not much error, you know, room for error. So that was a really good sort of training ground. And from there, I just sort of carried on with my experience of narrative stuff, doing, you know, filming music bands, doing various promos, but primarily sort of working on film stuff and developing my own sort of narrative films. And then as that developed, I did my third feature, I did the first two very, very low budget. One was at university. Second one was a couple of years later. And the third one was a sort of a much more reasonable budget, which was Winter Ridge. And
that was the third was one.
The Winter Ridge was the third one, yeah.
Third, oh, yeah. Impressive. To be award winning, it's impressive that it's the third one.
Yeah, I mean, the first two were, you know, they were made for almost no money, so they were great exercises in learning. And I think when you've done a feature, it gives investors a lot of confidence because they know that you've sort of been through the process of making it. But yeah, I mean, I learned a lot on Winter Ridge, and I think I learned, what I did learn was great. I sort of ran a film course based in London that was quite successful on how to sort of make your first, you know, reasonable budget feature. And then off the back of that, we did our own sort of cinema run for the film. And I've sort of been producing other people's work as well, that sort of watched what I've been doing on other projects and have been interested in hiring me. So that's kind of how producing tends to be, referrals more than anything, or people I've met sort of through networking. They're interested in collaborating, and then directing, I tend to develop my own stuff more than anything.
Nice. Mentioning about, you say you try to distribute the film around different cinema. How in the project, how did you distribute your own film, and how does it work, the distribution for indie project?
Well, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, this was a few years ago now, but a lot of people sort of have the opinion that if you don't get a distributor and do a mass cinema run, there's no point, or it's a difficult thing to do. But the reality is that a lot of people just haven't tried to ask. And the key we sort of looked at it was, if you've got cast or crew in a certain area or town or village, whether that's London or outside of London, or, you know, anywhere really, if there's enough of a sort of a fan base around those people, you can, you know, a lot of independent cinemas will screen your film for a night because they haven't really got that much to lose. Mm. It becomes an event. You can involve the local press. So from their point of view, it's often not too big of a, a risk to run your film for a night. I think where a lot of people go wrong is, first off, like, most cinemas will try and get you to hire, which is the kind of, you know, hobby approach in a lot of examples, because you end up paying a lot of money to the cinema, and, you know, the risk is entirely sort of on your in your quarter to get the sort of the returns and fill the cinema up. So I think our approach was to just be confident that we would deliver. So we just approached the cinemas with a percentage split that was kind of in line with how they would usually work with bigger films. And the thing is, once you get a few cinemas to agree, then you've got a bit of momentum, and this, you know, especially if you sell out screens, which we did on our opening ones, you know, other cinemas are looking at it and they're thinking, well, actually, our numbers on the latest blockbuster are maybe 12 or 25 people per screening, and these people have sold 200-300 seats, so actually this might be a good thing to take a risk on. So that was kind of the way that we approached it, and we tried to find areas where the cinemas were independent. There's a few different companies that you can hire the bigger screens, like View and Odeon as well in London. So we went through that company as well to put on a couple of sort of London-based ones. But generally, it was sort of piecing together this set of screenings, and we did about 25 for Winter Ridge, and then I did the same sort of thing on a couple of other films, you know, other independents around the UK on other films afterwards, because it was a good success. And then you know, we even involved the BBC, who came down to one of the screenings for the writer in Somerset, and we did a sort of a live on the evening news coverage of the event. So you can link the press and the festivals. And the cinema run, you can all sort of link together, so they feed each other.
Cool. You know that you might remember me that personally I also work in independent cinema, but I know nothing about this process, so especially about distribution. This is a question came out to my mind right now. It's really you. I don't know prices, how much cinema charge for, you know, distribute your film, but it's really risky if, for example, you get a flop or, you know, you say it's all on your expenses, right?
I mean, I think it is. If you do a hire and you're paying like £500 or £1,000 or more to hire a cinema out and it doesn't sell many tickets, then I mean, the cinema gets paid anyway because you've already paid for every single seat pretty much. So, I mean, you have to give them a bit of leeway, and often that comes in a sort of a minimum seating guarantee, which we often did of, you know, we're going to get at least 30 or 50 seats or, you know, whatever. But I think that, you know, the profit share idea works a lot better.
Cool. It's really risky for, you know, for you guys. Really, really risky.
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. I mean, it depends how determined you are, I think, really. Because, I mean, I think we had like one or two cinemas where we hadn't really sold enough, but in the end, we were able to tell the cinemas, you know, a little bit in advance, and it was a sort of an ongoing conversation. Some of them you have to sort of keep them, you know, you have to sort of fight quite hard to keep the screening open, because you know that some screenings are going to sell out a little bit later because of various reasons, and other ones you have to sort of be honest and pragmatic and say, okay, well, maybe this one isn't working as well as we thought. And so, I mean, out of the 25 or 30 we did on various runs, like, I can only really remember one or two that we had to sort of, you know, postpone or cancel in advance, and the rest we pretty much filled up enough to, you know, keep the cinemas happy. And even some of the ones that didn't have too big a numbers, they were generally happy because we made an event out of it, and we gave them press, and they got sort of a social media exposure. So it's all sort of, they're getting something.
It's tactics too. That's a good way. And it really uses info. I hope, you know, who's listening, you know, can learn from you. Now, talking always about your work, do you have any particular moment during some of your shift, rather is good or bad?
It's good or bad. I mean, I think an important thing, I think a lot of people worry about doing their first feature film. And the reality is, if you're focusing on, you know, in the same kind of way that you focus on a short, then you're just looking at, okay, well, I've got this much time to shoot this scene. This is what I need to think about. And I found that when you're actually in the process, it's very similar to doing a short film. The only difference is that you just have to be aware of where your characters are in terms of the story if you're shooting out of sequence. So, you know, with a short, you can generally, because it's such a short period of time, or, you know, so many little pages, you don't have to worry about too much that side. But on a feature film, I think that was a nice sort of realization that, you know, basically, instead of looking at it as like, I've got, you know, 2-3 weeks that I've got to be hitting all these deadlines, you just think, okay, what's today? This is what I've got today. This is what I've got this morning. This is what I've got this scene. And you just do it one scene at a time, and then the day is done, and you're on to the next one. And I think that's a good situation. Bad moments. I mean, we had one day when we had like 8 pages to do and a whole bunch of stunts. The weather was changing, and we had some, you know, quite well-established actors there. Those kind of moments are not ideal when you're an independent, because there isn't the kind of leeway to shoot something another day. You have got no option to get more money, really.
Time is money.
Yeah. So when you've got like days that you've sort of gone through with your assistant director and your production manager, and they've said this doesn't look like a very achievable day. It looks pretty impossible, and you have to do it. You know, those are very difficult situations to be in, and I think independent film that's a lot of the pressure, especially if you sort of, you know, you feel very responsible for the money. It might be some of your own connections as well. So I think that's probably the most difficult side of independent, is when you've got to work with, you know, more established people, whether that's money side or cast or crew, and you've got like very difficult deadlines to meet.
True. I work in India. I have similar situation like yours. Just I've been more lucky with the weather.
Yeah.
This one might be my last question, but if something else came up to my mind, I will tell you. This one is for those who are listening. What will you recommend to those starting out?
I think networking is important, so I'll just cover that quickly. I'd say if you're networking, don't think who's the most important person in the room, who can I get something out of straight away and ask them. I think what's really important with networking is get to know people for the future, that you actually like their way of working and that kind of approach. It might be 2 or 5 years before you're actually ready to work with that person, but by keeping a more casual sort of, you know, relationship with them, maybe asking a bit of advice here and there, it might be a better way in for them being interested in working with you. So I'd say that's a good sort of approach to networking. I would say go out and make your own films, try everything, literally everything, like editing, camera, sound, you know, filming, etc. Because it's you know, actually shooting your own film and editing it is a very valuable process, sort of learning A, what each department does, and B, how, you know, what you shot was or wasn't what you needed.
On networking, what I used to follow too many networking event, and there was one particular thing the organizer once said, that he found, you know, many people not talking to each other. So first, she said, come on, talk to each other, people. And second one, another example she gave, it was, you know, do not expect, as you say, to go with the most popular, famous person in order to find work. Just talk to the people next to you, because it might be really useful. Like, for example, you are watching an event from some director like Steven Spielberg. Do not expect to talk with him, but to those who are sitting next to you, because they came for the same reason and they want to talk about this.
Mm. So, no, I completely agree. That was what, so I just remember what I was going to say. I think the most important thing, if you are a director, is go to some acting classes and learn and understand acting, because I think acting is the least straightforward in terms of understanding the process if you're coming from a sort of a technical background. And I think it's really valuable to learn that. So definitely just go in and watch acting classes, try and get to understand the process, and it will make your life a lot easier when you're working with actors on films. And definitely read a lot about screenwriting. I think screenwriting is, you know, just behind that, one of the most important aspects of filmmaking, because it's really the blueprint of your project. And to really understand story structure takes a long time and a lot of learning, I think. And once you get it, you can kind of tell whether scripts work and whether they don't, and how to correct stuff a lot better. So I think those are two very useful things. Networking wise, I mean, I'm not really a fan at all of the kind of boozing and schmoozing style networking events.
Boozing and schmoozing, when you are...
Well, basically, you know, events where you just sort of chucked in a room with people with some alcohol for 3 or 4 hours, and that's the, and, you know, it's sort of a loud setting, and you,
true.
You sort of, you know, jumping into people by chance. Like my view on networking is, you know, kind of in line with what you said, is go to something of someone that is inspiring to you or a topic that's inspiring to you. And if you happen to meet people there, then they're likely to be people that, you know, have the same kind of values as you and are interested in the work rather than the networking. You know, the networking in my mind should almost be a sort of a byproduct of what, you know, why you're there. And there's two resources I'm sort of part of, which are sort of designed to help filmmakers. One's the Filmmakers Podcast, which is the biggest UK film podcast.
Oh yeah, and I heard. I listened a few episodes. No, really nice. I'm honest to say that I got a bit inspired by them too.
Oh, great.
They do the same things like me, Etienne. I didn't copy, that's for sure.
No.
I know a bit them. You take your part with them occasionally. You know the... I don't know, I never listened to you there. Did you work with them?
Yeah, I do a lot of I do a lot of episodes with Giles. I mean, there's various different, there's like probably, you know, 5 to 10 of us that do the interviews. But I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of episodes for the podcast. So we sort of, you know, alternate who's working on it. But we, you know, that's basically a really good resource in terms of learning from people from indie up until Hollywood, how they've kind of got to where they go. And something that I created with Giles, who founded the podcast, is a film networking event in London that we were running, which was, you know, highly successful. And we generally have like 3 guests on a sort of a panel discussion, and we'd kind of talk through the, you know, the points of their career, because I find you go to a lot of sort of discussions with, you know, very high level people, and it's very sort of anecdote based stories, and it's very sort of light, you know, discussions, and it's very nice, and it's fun to sort of hear what they've been up to, but a lot of them don't go very deep into the process. And I think one of the most beneficial things you can look at with people that are working at the Hollywood level, say, is to actually see what, you know, what their path was, how they actually got to where they got. You know, it's useful to know about people when they've been on the verge of giving up that end up being, you know, the sort of Christopher Nolans or, you know, those kind of people of the world. And to know about the challenges they've had and the steps they've gone through. So we run this this film event, and there would be like half an hour either side, where people could sort of get to know each other and chat. But the predominant part of the event was sort of panel discussion, and we had some incredible guests on that. And hopefully it'll be up and running again once COVID kind of gets underway. And there's a last resource.
Can't wait to see.
Yeah. And then there's one more resource I'd say is really good, which is Screen Skills.
Line on them.
And you can, it's good. You can get a mentor. You can be a mentor. So either or, I do both. And there's also a bunch of grants on there. So whether you want to learn to drive, to become a runner, or whether you want to get a grant for some software, to become an editor, or go get some money for a training course, they've got loads of grants that people can apply to as well, which is really helpful if you're sort of starting out.
They do grants also if you want to do, I don't know if about grants in Screen Skill. You can get grants also if you want to make a short film, right? If they do,
it's not. I don't think it's for films. It's learning grants.
Learning, okay, okay.
So it's basically progressing your career. So it's stuff like software or trading skills or something that will help better your career.
Okay, okay. I thought, grant. Budgeting. This kind of.
Yeah, thing. I think they're called bursaries or something. I'm not sure.
Bursary.
Yeah. Stuff like Final Draft and that kind of thing.
I'll make sure to share. Every episode I used to share always. Link relating. I make sure to share both the filmmaking podcast. They have a website, right?
Yeah.
I'll share their website and also ScreenSkiller, which I think I shared in my first episode. I talked about ScreenSkiller also, yeah, on the introduction. That they're really good on, you know, even just go there and reading how each role in each department work. So I'll make sure to share again. Great. Personally, I don't have any more questions because you tell me everything, especially about both of your job. I want to say thank you again for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for really. I feel still sorry for you that you know you are working. You know,
I'm no, putting it's your fine. Pressure. No, it's more than fine. Yeah.
I also want to say thanks to those who are listening, and I will see you on next episode. Ciao.
Bye.